This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Genesis. Here's Pastor Sandy in the book of Genesis, chapters 39 through 41.
I also was in a dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket, there were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh. I wonder if there are any Krispy Kremes in there. And the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you." Now, though it's not recorded in the text, I believe that I know the baker's reaction to Joseph's interpretation. He looks up and he says, "Can I get a second opinion?" I'm sure that after hearing Joseph's interpretation, this baker had a hard time keeping his head on straight. I mean, he's really squirming. He's really upset. Here's the summation of Joseph's two interpretations. In 3 days, the butler will get ahead, while in 3 days, the baker will lose his head. And that's exactly what happens. Verse 20. "Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday." Oh, a birthday party. "That he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them." And it just so happens that the third day corresponded with Pharaoh's birthday. Now, my wife loves birthdays. This was one of the things that I had to deal with when we got married. For us, a birthday was just sort of your birthday. It was just maybe another day, a little special, but cake, and that's about it. But for Kathy, a birthday is really, really special. It's a big deal. And well, it should be. Unless you read the Bible. She does read the Bible. She watches NFL football too, But the problem, though, is when you read the Bible, you're not so sure that birthday parties are a good idea. For there are only two birthday parties mentioned in the Bible. One is here, and the other is Herod's birthday, when Salome danced before the king and as a favor asked for the head of John the Baptist. When a birthday pops up in the Bible, somebody always loses his head. And of course, this all happened just as the dreams had predicted. Verse 23. "And yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." What a tragic verse. I mean, your heart just bleeds for Joseph. This guy can't get a break. He assumes that when the butler gets promoted, he's going to pull Joseph up too. But again, his hopes are dashed. And think of the opportunities Joseph had to get discouraged. Think about that. I mean, his brothers shafted him, literally. Threw him down a shaft, threw him down a pit. He was treated unfairly at Potiphar's house. He was lied about by Potiphar's wife. He was lied to by the butler. I'm sure he felt at this point that his life was a waste. He was headed nowhere and getting there fast. But all the while, though he was discouraged, though he didn't see what God was doing, nevertheless, God was perfectly positioning him for a strategic and a vital purpose that we're about to see. William Cowper once said, "Behind a frowning providence, there shines a smiling face." Joseph doesn't see God in his life, but he is there nonetheless, working things out for good. As the Jewish rabbis used to say, coincidence is not a kosher word. I mentioned last week that not only was Joseph's life an example of providence, but it's also a picture and a prophecy of Jesus Christ. And here too is where the plot thickens. Now remember, Joseph was sent by his father to check on his brothers. Jesus too was sent into this world by his Father in heaven to do what? To check on his brothers, the Jews. Joseph found his brothers in the town of Dothan. And you remember, Dothan means law. And Jesus found the Jews in the first century steeped in law, in legalism, in tradition. Joseph's brothers rejected him and wanted to kill him. And the Jewish leaders had the same reaction to Jesus. In fact, they succeeded in having him executed. Joseph ends up in prison. Jesus ends up on the cross, numbered with the prisoners. Joseph interacts with two jailbirds. There were two thieves on the cross, weren't there? Joseph was accused falsely. He was punished for someone else's sin. Jesus was also innocent of all wrongdoing and died for your sin and for my sin. It seems that Joseph was reluctantly sentenced by Potiphar. You remember Pilate reluctantly sentenced Jesus. Joseph ends up remembered by what happens to a butler and to a baker. The butler being a wine tester and the baker being a preparer of bread. And notice what Jesus is remembered by. Each time we come to the Lord's table, what do we find? Wine and bread. Joseph's salvation comes through the wine taster, the butler who gets promoted to the house. And our salvation comes through what the wine represents, the blood of Jesus Christ. There are some fascinating parallels here between Joseph and Jesus. Chapter 41. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. And behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river, the Nile, 7 cows, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. And of course, it doesn't say this, but you know what they said? Eat more chicken. Go to Chick-fil-A. Well, I just threw that in there. I thought that was great. Eat more chicken. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows, and so Pharaoh awoke. Obviously, the dream disturbed him. It caused him to have a cow. And if he was like me, he gets woken up in the middle of the night and can't go back to sleep, and so what does he do? He goes down to the refrigerator, pours him a big glass of milk. After all, he dreamed about cows. Drinks the milk, and then he goes back to sleep. And in verse 5, he slept and dreamed a second time. And suddenly, 7 heads of grain came up on 1 stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 thin heads blighted by the east wind sprang up after them. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. And so Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Apparently, it must have been so lifelike that he, you know, you get caught up in those dreams and you forget it's a dream, you know, and you wake up and it's just so real to him. Verse 8, now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And he calls in his stable of soothsayers and fortune teller types. And he asked them for an interpretation. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. They all strike out. And that's when God reaches down through the Holy Spirit and sort of jabs the butler's memory. He plants a thought in his head. What about that Hebrew back in the prison? Verse 9, then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day, 2 years later, when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. We each dreamed a dream in one night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass just as he interpreted for us. So it happened. He restored me to my office and he hanged him. 2 years later, the butler finally did do it. He finally keeps his promise. He finally remembers Joseph. And in verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. You remember when Jesus rose from the dead, he also changed his clothes, didn't he? He came from the grave, shining with a bright light, radiating and reflecting the glory of God. I don't know if the risen Christ was clean shaven. Perhaps he was. Would have fulfilled the type here with Joseph. And Joseph said to, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Now, I love that, don't you? It's not in me. Joseph refuses to take credit, but understand this, neither does he back down. You know, there's some people I know, they'll say, oh, it's not in me, but then they won't do anything. No, Joseph says, no, it's not in me, but I'm not afraid to stand up and represent God. I'm not afraid here to speak for God. He's bold, he's confident, but it's not in himself. His confidence is in God. You see, Joseph is no longer the haughty kid who strutted around in front of his brothers wearing his letter jacket. Suffering has added humility to this man's boldness and this man's confidence. Verse 17, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream, I stood on the bank of the river. Suddenly, seven cows came up out of the river, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. And you know what they said? Eat more chicken. Then behold, seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt. Such ugliness as I have never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the gaunt and ugly cows ate up the first seven, the fat cows. When they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were just as ugly as at the beginning. So I woke. Also I saw in my dream, and suddenly seven heads came up on one stalk, full and good. Then behold, seven heads, withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the seven heads devoured the seven good heads. The thin heads devoured the seven good heads. And so I told this to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. And the seven thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise. And all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. And so the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the thing is established by God. Remember, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. And God will shortly bring it to pass. Two dreams, one interpretation, 7 years of abundance followed by 7 years of famine so severe that they will forget the years of abundance. But Joseph goes beyond just offering an interpretation. He does a mind-blowing thing next. He gives the Pharaoh advice. Now, you got to understand, the Egyptians believed that the Pharaoh was the reincarnation of the sun god, Ra. And in the minds of this court, this would be like a slave giving advice to a god. That would be pretty appalling. It could get Joseph in some serious trouble. But Joseph wasn't afraid to speak for God. Yes, he knew that it was not in him. But nevertheless, he would stand up and let God work through him. He proposes a plan for some nationwide rationing. Verse 33. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the seven plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. When he got done, I'm sure he kind of held his breath. How is Pharaoh going to react to this bold advice? Verse 37. So the advice was good in the eyes of the Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. In fact, we're told in verse 38 that Pharaoh was so impressed, he said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" And this is the first time in the Bible where it recognizes the Spirit of God indwelling a human being. And notice the observation was made by a pagan heathen king. You know, it's obvious to me that Joseph had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, a godless Pharaoh recognizes that there is something supernatural about this young man. And I read that and I thought, did the people around me look at my life and say, wow, there's a man in whom dwells the Spirit of God? You know, I believe that if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, if we're baptized with the Spirit's power and presence in our life, I believe it'll become obvious to the people around us. I believe the people around us will recognize that there's something different about us. I love what Donald G. says about the filling of the Holy Spirit. He says, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know it and need no one to acquaint you with the fact. You will soon be acquainting them. In other words, you will be a bold witness. That's what always happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We become bold witnesses for Jesus Christ. I hope that before you leave tonight, you'll pray. And you'll ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and overflow from your life. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all of this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne, I will be greater than you. Joseph gets a promotion here, and a pretty big promotion. Suddenly, he goes from slave to second in command in all Egypt. Verse 41. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried out before him, bow the knee, bow the knee. And so he set him over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh. And here he defines the scope of Joseph's authority. Without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Man, overnight, Joseph goes from the pit to the pinnacle. Incredible. He came to Egypt with an iron chain around his neck. Now he's adorned with a gold chain. What a turnaround. Joseph was comeback player of the year. Joseph was 17 when he was lifted from that pit and taken to Egypt. He is now 30 when he reaches the palace. In between were 13 long, difficult, troubling years. You know, I am sure that there were many paths that God could have used to get Joseph from Canaan down to Egypt. But by doing it this way, God not only made a way, God made a man. The circumstances that Joseph went through caused him to understand that God's privileges don't justify a pompous attitude. That promotion is from God, and it's the result of His grace, not our greatness. While in the pit, God had made His point. And I wonder right now, if you're somewhere between the pit and the pinnacle, you're somewhere in those troubling years, those difficult years. Be assured God has a lot of ways to get you where he wants you to go, but the way he's chosen is because he wants to do something in you to change you and to make you the man or woman you need to be for that place where he's going to get you eventually. Remember that. Verse 45, and Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. Joseph's a lot easier to pronounce. With Zaphnath-Paaneah, which in Egyptian means savior of the world. And he gave him as a wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. She was an Egyptian, which made her a Gentile bride. Guess whose life now parallels Joseph's life? Of course, it was Jesus. For Jesus was also raised from a pit, taken from a prison, clothed with honor and glory. And after he was resurrected, he ascended into heaven and he was exalted to the right hand of the king. And notice what they said to Joseph when he rode in his chariot. They said, bow the knee, bow the knee. And you remember Philippians 2 verse 10 teaches us that one day every knee will bow to Jesus Christ. And notice too, Joseph receives an Egyptian name, Zaphnath-Paaneah, which means savior of the world. And there is no better name than that than for Jesus Christ, is there? Savior of the world. And in verse 50, after his promotion, Joseph receives a Gentile bride, this woman named Asenath. And that is exactly what happens to Jesus. He too has received a Gentile bride, you and me, the church. Fascinating picture. Verse 45, so Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now in the 7 plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was without number. He managed a great harvest, didn't he? Which is also, by the way, what Jesus is doing today. A harvest of souls is underway, a great harvest. But the harvest of souls that exists today will be followed by 7 years of famine, and we call that period the Great Tribulation. And to Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. The famine was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph, whatever he says to you, do. The famine was all over the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. And verse 57 sort of sets up for the amazing events that are about to follow. So all countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because the famine was severe in all lands. And among those who journeyed down to Egypt for bread was a family living in Canaan, a father named Israel, who formerly was named Jacob, and his 11 sons. And the rest of Genesis describes how Joseph treats his brothers when they meet again.
From the creation of all we see and know to the great flood that destroyed everyone but Noah and his family, the book of Genesis is foundational to our faith. As Pastor Sandy teaches through Genesis, we'll learn how each story applies to us and how each story points to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Join us each day as we journey through the first book of the Bible, Genesis. This has been another edition of Sandy Adams Radio with our pastor and teacher, Sandy Adams. He's the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, we're sure that today's message in Genesis has blessed and encouraged you in your walk with Jesus Christ. Maybe you'd like to review this message again, or perhaps a family member or friend has come to mind today. Log on to sandyadams.org and click on the radio program option in the main menu. There you'll find today's message. All you need to do is remember today's date and visit sandyadams.org. Or you can give us a call right here at the church. Our phone number is 770-736-2828. Someone is standing by to talk with you. Again, just mention today's date and we'll send you the full-length CD. In the next edition, Pastor Sandy will continue teaching verse by verse through the book of Genesis. On behalf of Pastor Sandy and the entire production team, we want to say thank you for tuning in, and may God bless you.